I always try to kind of like separate the technology XR with the use case like metaverse kind of thing. It's like you just put on the headset and you live in that field. And that's not how it should be. You don't want to replace every human existence with the metaverse. But again, it still has some interesting use cases, especially for remote companies where you can.
Welcome to Mangtas Nation, a podcast where tech entrepreneurs and industry experts come together to share diverse perspectives and real-world experiences around the latest tech trends and innovations. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now. Hello and welcome, Dinesh, to today's show. Thank you for taking the time to be a guest in our podcast today. We're definitely thrilled to have you here. And of course, we're excited to know more about you and your area of expertise, which is XR. But before we dive into any details, and can you just tell us and our listeners a bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for inviting me. My name is Dinesh, and I've been in the AR, VR, XR, spatial computing, immersive technologies, whatever name we want to give it to, in that field since 2016, and trying out the Oculus DK2, or DK1 actually, the DK1 developer kit 1 for the first time in 2015, and I was really amazed by this technology. I was on a virtual roller coaster, and there was so much in it that I actually punched on the wall because I forgot that I was sitting behind the wall, actually. So that was just like the level of immersiveness that I had with this like big, really old headset, actually, already. The passion, exactly. And so then I bought the DK2 immediately. I have a programming background, so that is my expertise in software development. Started learning how to build AR and back then VR experiences, and I was really frustrated by the educational material back then. I mean, there was basically nothing really except for outdated kind of documentations. So I started to also teach everything that I've learned immediately. So I went to universities and workshops and meetups, which then also led to my YouTube channel and now also my company, Immersive Insider. So I've been working in several industries between that time in gaming, healthcare, manufacturing, interior design, applying immersive technologies in all of these areas, and now have my own company, which is called Immersive Insiders, and that teaches AR and VR development to people all over the world. That's like the 1 minute pitch, maybe.
Fantastic. And maybe before we go into AR, VR and all that, because I have a whole bunch of questions. I love this stuff. Maybe a little bit more about Dinesh the person. Like how did you even get into tech? Where are you based? Like, tell us a little bit about the origin story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm born and raised in Berlin, and my parents are from India. They moved here 30 plus years ago, and I've been here all my life, or also traveling lots of places. And I was genuinely, as a young child, already pretty interested in tech, mostly gaming, of course. So when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old, I really wanted to become a game programmer, game developer, which I also ended up becoming. I actually published my first game, I think when I was like 19, 20, I don't know exactly, something in that range. So I really lived my dream. I love learning above everything else, which is somehow how I ended up becoming a YouTuber and teaching. And generally interested in a lot of things, really. I don't know, like fitness, philosophy, making videos, like creative stuff, playing music. I have a guitar over there, all of these things. And I just love building businesses. Like the entrepreneurship game is really the thing that I enjoy the most so far. And that is something that has led me to now building my own company, or like bootstrapping my own company with these fields as well.
Cool. Can I ask the next question, Jackie?
Yes, go ahead.
I know Jackie wants to ask one. But I think it's always good to set a baseline, right? Before we go deeper into the topics. Like, what is your definition? I mean, you already mentioned immersive, but what's your definition of XR, AR, VR? How would you set that baseline for us today, but also for the listeners?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it's kind of confusing. There are like so many terms, like you just mentioned, and They all kind of mean the same, but kind of not really. So in general, whenever I go to the stage and talk about these on a public stage, I talk about, okay, we have generally, again, like all of these like little caveats here and there, like some like experts are like, this is the wrong definition. Let's see. So first of all, you have VR, virtual reality, which is when you put on the headset, usually the headset, again, you can also like define it as a big room, but generally you put on the headset, and VR, you don't see the actual world anymore. So you see a completely virtual construct world. That is like the main definition for this one. So you're fully immersed in that field. Then on the other side, you have AR. AR, I would categorize in two subfields. I usually call it mobile AR, which is a phone most of the time, or an iPad, where you have the cameras and you have it in your hand. And then you have head-worn AR, which is, you put on a set of glasses, and it's basically like sunglasses with like digital information behind. So you can still see the real world, and that is what you have there. Then you have the confusing term of mixed reality, which is, it's basically AR if you would be really like going on the technical details. So in AR, the HoloLens, they call themselves mixed reality, so you put on the headset, and you have a digital world merged with the virtual one. So you have your real physical table, but then you have digital objects on the table already, which is not really different from AR. So now we have spatial computing as well, which is also to say another term combining all of these. And XR, just to close it up, and immersive technologies, you usually use them to just take all of these AR, VR, MR together and put them in one word, which is XR, immersive technologies, and also spatial computing. At least that's like my understanding of how far that is.
But well, I've also read, Dinesh, that you're in also recently into real reality. What is that in fact?
That is basically this. So your headset is basically real reality. I love it. It's pretty cool. So sometimes you need a break from virtual worlds. You just go out to the real world, which I would highly recommend. I mean, there's like so funny questions sometimes when people ask me, when are we living in the virtual worlds and everything? That's not really the point. Like you can use it as a tool. It's something that you can, like it has amazing use cases and implications for so many fields, especially like education, but also other business use cases. Again, I use it in so many fields, but you don't want to live in that world like permanently. I mean, that would be like a Matrix kind of dystopian future, and I would not recommend anybody living in these kind of worlds, really. So that's why having a 95% time in real reality is always the best. The short term is RR, by the way.
RR. Ah, there you go. Of course. Yeah. Of course, it's another R. So about a year ago, maybe a little bit less, everything was metaverse.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I was like, okay. And look, I guess XR is a big component of that vision. Mm. And everything was VR, XR. And then all of a sudden, GPT came, and now everything is AI.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days ago, there's this company called Apple that released a ski mask looking thing. Oh, and now it's getting back to immersive experiences. So, what do you predict is going to happen in the next couple of months, Dinesh?
Oof. Yeah, let's see what comes next. I mean, like there are like so many hype trains and hype bubbles. We had this whole crypto thing, then we had blockchain, then we had NFTs, and then we had like metaverse. I think there will just be like new hypes and new trends all the time. Now we have Apple also joining the whole game of immersive technologies, which I think it's a pretty good thing. So really, Apple is making a clear statement that they take XR, immersive technology, serious, and they see it also as the next technological advancement. So that is something that is actually pretty good to see. And I think the general impact, I mean, again, like big disclaimers, because like people start hating again, because I mean, it's such a polarizing topic and people just like get crazy on the internet. Like when I say like, okay, this probably leads to a bigger adoption to people outside of our bubble. Again, the headset costs €3,500. So this headset particular is aimed to professionals, to enthusiasts, to companies, not to the regular Joe on the side or something like this. unless you're like an Apple fanboy who buys anything. So that's also a subgroup of them. But in general, it just creates a lot more awareness. People will see it more. And then this is a Gen 1 device from Apple, and which means in a couple of years, we'll have the next device, maybe half the price, who knows. Meta has a device, has their devices for like a couple of €100. So in general, I think just the level of adoption will increase over time, as it is already doing. And especially on the enterprise business side, you will see a lot more use cases being implemented. But also on the consumer side, slowly, again, €3,500 is not going to be a consumer device, more like prosumer expert device.
So having said that, you say a small subset of Apple fans are Apple fans. I don't know anyone.
They just buy anything.
Pretty diehard. but it reminds me a little bit, your story reminds me a little bit of something that I kind of witnessed, which was the cell phone in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Where there are a lot of big kind of devices which were limited to professionals, really,
exactly.
That had a very specific use case. And look at us now, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Give it a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. It's going to become part of life by the sounds of it. Question, going back to metaverse, though. So I do want to hear your opinion on it, talking about polarizing topics.
Oh, yeah.
How do you see this evolve, right? So one is AR, VR, right? Sure, and with specific use cases.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your view, maybe even your definition, because that's, again, debatable. And where do you think that is all heading? Like an actual metaverse.
Defining that term is even harder because like literally everybody has its own definition. But in general, like oversimplified, it is a real-time virtual world with a lot of people from who are all interconnected. And so you put on the headset, you are in real time with somebody else presently aware. And just sharing a experience together. That could be anything. And I
like
purposefully try to
different meetings.
Exactly, podcasts. Like we could actually have a virtual podcast together, for example, which would be pretty cool. There are these use cases. And I always try to kind of like separate the technology XR with the use case like metaverse kind of thing. So some not so ideal views I have on this one is it reminds us on Matrix. Like you just put on the headset and you live in that field, and that's not how it should be. You don't want to replace every human existence with the metaverse because you can't. You still like should feel humans. You should like be having eye contact with humans. All of that stuff should not be completely replaced, of course. So that is something where I have like these kind of mixed views, at least. But again, it still has some interesting use cases, especially for remote companies where you can, over time, having these remote meetings. Again, if you want to call it metaverse or not, it's up to you. Back then, before there was metaverse, it was actually called social VR. And now it's called metaverse. And then let's see, now the trend, the word is kind of dying more and more and more. And now people will call it, let's see, immersive hangout. I don't know. Maybe I just coined the term. It could be any other word that is coming out of this one. But that is just something I think like with just like new technologies coming, everybody throws their own word and then let's just see what gets adopted actually. But generally, most people don't like the term metaverse in general because it reminds them of this like Matrix kind of thing where you're just like living in this kind of thing all the time.
Mm. Now about your company, let's talk a bit about that, Dinesh, Immersive Insiders. I mean, as entrepreneurs ourselves, we'd love to hear about a good entrepreneurial story and entrepreneurial journey. So tell us about how you got started and what, with all of the things that you have done, for sure you have a passion for what you do, but how did you just decide to cross that bridge and I'm gonna start this time my own company? It's just different to have this vision and a dream and to actually do something about what you want to do. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think this is a big point that you just mentioned. A lot of people have the dream of running their own business and doing something, because I see it like every single day, and a few people actually do it. So that is there's a big gap between. Exactly, because between people talking about it and people actually doing it. So I don't know, I think I've been like look enjoying like this entrepreneurial spirit for quite some time. I don't like funny thing, like back then when I was in, I think like in middle school in quotes, I think I was like 12 years old or something like this. I sold like breads that you could buy. So there was like a small cafeteria where you could like buy like pizza breads. So I like had like a side business of like taking in these orders and buying pizza breads from other people, and then I gave it to them and I took like a 10% commission.
Love,
I mean, that 10%
spirit.
was like 10 cents. So I literally earned nothing on that one. But I had like this mini side business on the go that could earn me like one piece of bread maybe.
How old were you again? How old were you?
I don't know, like 12, 13, 14.
13-year-old and already with a side hustle. How about that?
Yeah, huh? like 10 cents a day, but at least something. But then over that time, something that really got me into that really also was, first off, the freedom to basically do whatever you want to do and working with anybody you want to work with. So you don't have anybody who tells you what you're supposed to do and stuff like this. But also the freedom to just travel any place. To me, that was the one of the big reasons. When I saw, like, I don't know, like back in 2016 or 2014, these like digital nomads and all of these people like who are like traveling all the world and working from a laptop, that was like my big dream. And I accomplished that like a couple years ago. Since my company is also fully remote and we work all from all over the world, I skipped the winter in Germany, which is horrible. I mean, anybody in Germany/Berlin knows you just hate your life in winter here. And I just moved to Portugal for 4 months or so. And
smart,
that is something that was
smart.
A big reason for me as well. In general, the company also was based on me really loving to learn. I love learning anything, really. I love learning tech and I love teaching. So that is something how I combined it. And the mission of the company, of like the big vision, is really to make it affordable for people to learn and get into AR and VR, because that is something that is pretty much non-existent, at least back then when I started. There was pretty much nothing on the field right now. Now, of course, there are like these like super expensive boot camps for like 20,000 euros or something like this. I mean, having a degree in anything is like costs like half your life and everything. So that is something where we want to, exactly. We provide 99% of things for free on my YouTube channel, on my LinkedIn, on my Discord, on my newsletter. Like, we just try to give as much free stuff as possible, which is hopefully better than the paid stuff. Our aim is that our free things is better than the paid stuff. And then the 1% that we charge, they basically help us to fund everything, because you gotta make some money, of course. So that is where we try to find the balance.
So it's basically combining your passion for teaching and learning and XR, mm-hmm. and ability to do this in a way where you're free. Whatever free means to you, right? travel or be it just, you know. But it comes at a cost, Dinesh, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are benefits to being an employee and salaried.
Yes.
There are benefits to not being one. So what would be your advice to people that are actually aspiring entrepreneurs but haven't gone there yet? What are some of the things that you wish you told yourself before you started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting into entrepreneurship, I think it's one thing that is really important to know about yourself is, are you the type of person who would be like fit for this one? So a couple of like character traits that are really helpful, if not essential. How do you deal with uncertainty? If you go to a travel plane or like to any plan, you organize something and things are like uncertain. You don't know, you don't have a plan, things go wild. You have to improvise all the time. Are you somebody who needs like a plan for everything? Like everything needs to be like exactly like you think it is, because then, and you can't deal with the stress of like things going crazy and going wild, then yeah, entrepreneurship may not be for you, for example. Because yeah, I mean, I'm living in uncertainty in quotes for like the past couple of years. So I only plan until a couple of months before, because I don't know how the next month will be. Like maybe I make a big deal and something big happens. Maybe somebody sues me and I'm like on the verge of bankruptcy can happen. Maybe some random German tax thing happens. Like there's like so many things that you can't predict really what is going to happen. So if you need to have everything like step-by-step planned and it needs to be according to plan, that is going to be really hard. And also, you have to be very, very disciplined, obviously. I mean, you will probably 150% agree having a company just takes 150% of whatever you want to do. So if you are more on the let's just chill and enjoy life too, like at the max really, and don't want to put in the hard times and hard works and everything, then it can be also not ideal, especially in the beginning. I think that is something that is also important. Like you don't want to be a slave to your hustle as well. You don't want to be working 16 hours every single day for the next 10 years. You will have these phases. I had like a hardcore time when I started launching the company of working full time and working full time on my own side hustle. I actually took a vacation from my main job to work 16 hours or 18 hours every single day for half a year almost on my company to bootstrap it. I mean, that's how I chose to do it, bootstrapping it. Mm-hmm. And that is also something you have to see for yourself. Do you want to be very patient and do it in the long term? Or are you really well with people and maybe you want to do the investment route? Like all of these questions can help you to identify if you want to be an entrepreneur and then what kind of entrepreneur do you want to be. Because there is a lot of different ways how you can do things and no game plan.
I love it. I love how you start with the character straight, right? I like how okay, are you good with chaos?
Do you have the discipline? The chaos navigating
do you have
is
the
so
work
important.
Hard mentality? And then, what's your funding plan?
Mm.
Jackie, if I may, I'd like to shift gears a little bit. you mentioned
earlier... I was going
to
say, Dinesh has come from a long way from bread and pizza to immersive...
that's a nice growth, I would say.
That's where patience comes
nice
in.
Nice transition. But when he was doing the pizzas, it was in person. And physical, now it's virtual and remote. So that's going to be my next question. So we haven't really spoken of remote yet. You mentioned you were a remote company. We can really relate to that. It's not only the problem we solve, but also how we are set up, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to go remote as a company rather than build like a center in Germany, for instance.
That is a pretty good question. Probably, let me think about it. The main reason really is to be able to travel to any place. That was at least how it started to me. Like that was my Kickstarter. Like I want to be in any place, and that is how I got started. First of all by myself, and then it kind of also evolved into a remote company. So the story of my first hire, which is pretty awesome, my XR developer. He was actually one of my very first students when I just launched my course, my very first course, one of my first courses. And I think he was like number 2, 3, 4 or something like this. And he was doing the course so well, the assignments and everything like so amazing that I see it in the backend. So it's like an interesting thing that you see in the backend who is like motivated. And then he actually asked me if he can do an internship in my company. And he's based in India, I'm based in Berlin. I'm like, sure, go ahead. I mean, I don't have a problem with like doing a remote internship. And then he was so good that I just told him, hey, let's just get you full time on board. And then it kind of like started also to be really a remote company, because before that it was just myself. So I don't know if you can call this a remote company. And now we are a team of 5, also all people all over the world, really. And I think the biggest benefit is really you save a ton of money. I mean, of course, if you are bootstrapped, I don't have the money to set up an office. I don't have the money to hire German people at the moment, at least, or back then, at least, the infrastructure, exactly. All the office equipment and all of these things, it is so much easier if you do it remote, and so much cheaper. Of course, it has its other cons. Everything has pros and cons. But to me, to our style of working, also the asynchronous way, because I don't care when my team works. Like, they can work any time of the day. Like, they don't have, like, clock in at 9 and clock out at 5. Like, to me, it's just stupid. And I hated it when I had to do it back then. I was really flexible anyways. But that would be nothing for me. They can do their work wherever they want, from when they want to do it, even like in a degree, how they want to do it. Of course, the quality has to match. That is really the most important part. And so I think it just fits to my traits of how I want to have the business, to have it as a remote company.
I we can relate to that a lot, and I guess the benefits that we will both have as companies is we had the opportunity to start at a time where remote was getting more and more accepted as well, right? And the tools were available to actually facilitate the process.
Exactly.
Have you thought about, okay, let's say you hit gold, and you need to go 10x in terms of staff. Have you figured out how you would do that? Would you start setting up centers? Would you keep it remote? Have you thought about that already? A platform maybe?
Initially, or at least at the moment, I don't plan to explode in terms of employees. I see it with so many companies that they hire too fast, they just grow too fast in quotes. Not grow. Let's differentiate between hiring and growing. You can grow a lot and not hire like 100,000 people. That's kind of the thing. I think you can have a fast rate of growth without overstaffing yourself. So something that I, at the moment at least, aim for is like a team of around 10. Like that's like a manageable number. You can make some big money with a team of 10 people if things are efficient, if things are well communicated, if things are well documented, if the pipelines are clear. And I saw it with so many companies I've worked in, companies I've just like observed basically, that they just overblown with people and things get really inefficient and they basically waste a ton of money by just having too many people. So I don't plan to become super huge. But if I do, then we'll probably have a HQ somewhere, like a headquarters, maybe Berlin, maybe some other place. Madeira is really hot on my list, actually. I love that place, so that
Madeira
could be interesting.
Well,
yes, I was there 2 weeks ago, and last year it is just paradise to me. So we probably would have a HQ where we would meet every couple of months, and then we would just have these like travel retreats, which I'm planning to do now as well, where we just all meet together in some cool places.
Somewhere without winters.
Amazing.
Oh yeah, exactly. No German winters at least.
Well, if someone wants to pursue a career in AR or VR, Dinesh, what specific technical skills should they be focusing on, or should they focus on developing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something obviously I get asked a lot by a lot of people. Yeah. So the framework that I use to teach is, think of it like from the end goal first. So end goal would be probably you have a very well-paid career in a big company, let's say, or you have your own startup, doesn't really matter. But let's now take the career path. In order to get that job, you most likely, 99%, this is something I talk about a lot and this is super important, you definitely need a portfolio. So to me, a portfolio is really documented experience. You show that you are capable of doing something in that field. So back then when I started as a game programmer, I wish I could show it, but I don't have my phone here. I built my own game, which I published in the App Store and Android Store as well. And whenever I got interviewed for any job interview, I was just like, hey, I built this app, you wanna see it? You wanna play it actually? And they played it. And like the first time how I got my job literally was, I wasn't even applying for a job. I went to like a random game developer party and like on the beer stands, I just showed my phone to somebody and he was like, hey man, do you want to work at us? I'm like, sure, why not? What do you do? Or what do you need? Well, we need a Unity developer. I'm like, yeah, I can do Unity. You just saw it. And then they just hired me. Like, I didn't even apply. Like, I didn't even ask for a job. I just got it like this. And that just showed me over and over and over again how important it is to have a portfolio. Now, in order to get the portfolio, you, of course, need a skill. And I would differentiate between a developer and a designer. Obviously, very different fields. We teach both of them. As a developer, you need to be able to code. So you will need your essential skills as software developer. You need to be able to write software and everything. As a designer, you need to be able to build prototypes. For example, you could use Shape6R or some other tools that help you build AR and VR prototypes. Again, like for all of these things, we have our courses, we teach them, and we can check out on my YouTube channel. And then that leads us to the last thing. So what kind of framework or what kind of engine do you use to build these applications as a developer or as a designer? And there comes the first part, which is having a game engine. So whether it is Unity or Unreal, usually one of these two, doesn't really matter which one it is. I don't want to start like a big polarizing discussion here. You can choose anyone which you like. Both are fine. It's like Coca-Cola versus Pepsi. And the very, very essential thing is to have a fundamental, genuine interest in AR and VR. So are you interested in the new devices? Do you test them out? Do you have your favorite games and everything? So just to summarize, have an interest in AR and VR, play out games, play out experiences, check out things, go to conferences, all of that stuff. Learn a game engine. I would highly recommend it to anyone, any field. As a developer, obviously, that's like the main thing you will work with, Unity or Unreal. Then learn the skill that comes with the game engine. So as a Unity developer, you want to learn C-sharp programming, fundamental skills there. As a designer, you want to build these prototypes with Shape6R, for example, and then maybe port them into Unity, and then that will build to your portfolio, which is your documented experience that you can showcase that you actually build something. Because if you build it and then you don't showcase it, nobody will see it. And if you follow these steps in general, you will have a much higher likelihood of landing any dream job you want to, compared to somebody who studies something, whatever it is, and then is like, yeah, I want to have a job. Doesn't really work, because you need to be able to show that you can do the job.
All right.
That would be like my framework.
Very good advice. And yeah, we can include a link to your app in the show notes. We can definitely do that, as well as to your YouTube channel. And Wouter, is there, in true German fashion, we've already extended a little bit, but would you have any?
No, all good. I was very, very, very happy with everything, the way you described it. I like how you, I think this is going to be very insightful, not just, I mean, your framework is not limited to XR, right?
I can
definitely relate to theoretical people that learn something and then think they can immediately go and work on it. Now you gotta kind of show things first and test and show that you're capable of doing it. And a portfolio can be in many different shapes and forms, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm with you, Dinesh.
Cool. Definitely for our listeners who are very interested in this space or want to know more about this space, Dinesh has a very interesting YouTube channel. We'll make sure to link it in the show notes below. He already has more than 20,000 subscribers. That's double that at least within the year. But Dinesh, apart from YouTube or LinkedIn, is there anywhere else that I might have missed where people can get in touch with you or reach you? Of course, your website.
Yeah, sure. So the best way to reach me probably would be LinkedIn, actually. I'm pretty active there as well. Just my name, Dinesh Puni. If you are interested in any of these fields, becoming an AR, VR, developer, designer, which also with the launch of the Apple headset will probably yield in a bigger demand for the skills, you can check them out on my website, Immersive Insiders. There we have all the programs, all the courses, everything that you need to really get started there as well.
Fantastic. Well, all right. That's a wrap then. Thank you, Dinesh, thank you for being with us today. It was a very interesting conversation, and we were definitely continue with the momentum. We definitely enjoyed the show, and I hope our listeners enjoyed the show as well, and definitely learned something today. So tell us what you think of this episode by sending us a message or leaving us a comment. And we promise to be back next time with another great episode. Thank you again, Dinesh.
So, thank you.
Once again, this is Jackie Demank.
And Wouter Delbare.
And stay tuned for the next episode of Mangtas Nation.
Thank you for tuning in to Mangtas Nation. Mangtas, your curated marketplace for B2B outsourcing solutions. Follow our social media pages to know more about us. Sign up as a client or sign up as a vendor and be part of this global B2B marketplace. Join us at www.mangtas.com.